Everyone, I'm Dr. Max, and welcome to the Her Story, Her Journey podcast, where we highlight the extra that's in every woman. I'm so glad you joined us today as we spotlight Yashima Marshall, who I met about 10 years ago.
Yes, you had just about 10 years.
Yes, she had just moved here to Orlando from Michigan and Ooh. Reached out to me. And I was just like, we're going to do a little 1 hour lunch. We ended up sitting there for like, 3 hours?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Just talking and connecting and getting to know each other. And we've, you know, had a chance to be in each other's lives and see the growth and the changes, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. And so it's my pleasure to have Yashima here as our guest on Her Story, Her Journey. Yashima actually is also a parenting coach, and she just has a heart for women. Her program is called the Hot Moms Club.
Yes, yes.
And, and in that club, Yashima focuses on talking about the challenges, the joys, and all the things that are integral to being a mother. And you know what I love about it is that she puts such an emphasis in just reminding mothers that they don't have to be perfect to be a good mother. So Yashima, I'm sure you'll do a better job of introducing yourself, please. Tell our audience who you are.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Max, for having me on here. I'm so elated and excited and just honored to be a part of your podcast. So glad you're doing this because, you know, I already know from our personal conversations and our talks over the years that this is awesome. So now everybody else gets to see, you know, how awesome you are. Behind the
thank
scenes.
You.
So thank you so much. You know, So I am. My journey just as a person started with social work. I mean, I started social work, my journey as a social worker when I was 16 years old. And then I thought I was going to be into the medical field, right? And then switched it up on myself again when I got to college. So I ended back into social work. Said, how did I end up in social work? So I've been here for 20 plus years, serving families, working with families from child welfare to foster care to juvenile justice to the mental health systems of care. I've been all over the world in the social work industry. So that's definitely where I love to stake my little feet at. And so when I moved down to Florida, when you met me, I was interested into something different. You know, I've been a part of all the systems, right? You know, all the county systems, the state systems, the child welfare, family, you know, foster care. I really was looking for something different and something where I felt that I was going to use my skills, my knowledge, and really my passion in a more effective and meaningful way for families. I wanted to make sure I was part of the solution and not the problem. And best way of putting it with working where I was working. So I became a PAN coach. And I don't know where that even came from. Even today, people ask you, a PAN coach, you know, what do you mean by that? And so back then, I think I must have seen it somewhere and said, oh, PAN coach. Now that's something I may get behind. And so I've been kind of on that journey for quite a while. I'm a mother of six. I'm a wife, a mother of six, so I have four bonus kids, and then my kids, they are adult women and men, but my oldest is 20, will be 28 this year, and then I have my two youngest, who are my sons and my husband, are 20 years old and 16 years old, and so my journey with motherhood, my passion, I know you spoke of hot moms, my passion for mothers came from my journey as a mom, my motherhood journey. I started off a motherhood journey as my own baby, very rocky, right? My first baby. And he was in the hospital at 28 weeks when I delivered him. And so at that time, I didn't have a lot of support system, you know, as a mom. And so I thought about that journey and how that impacted me, how that affected me, you know, my mental health, just physically and just my family, not having a big support system, even if it was just some girlfriends or church members or whatever. And so that's where my passion for moms came from, just knowing how I struggled and how an old woman from the church, you know, Sister Betty, stepped in and said to me, hey, I know you have your second baby coming. Little Fred was 3 or 4 years old. Who's helping you? And I was like, oh, I'm gonna need help.
Us mothers who have them know that that woman is speaking wisdom to you.
And she knew that, you're a leader at the church. You're doing all these things. So, when you have the baby, I see you're coming soon. Who's going to be there to help you? Who's doing this? And I was like, what? Like, I don't know. I don't have any of these things, right? And so Miss Betty came over the 2 weeks after I had my baby. And she supported me emotionally, mentally. She cooked my family dinner. She washed the baby's clothes. And it was just amazing. I was like, you know what? Wow, I didn't realize how much support and thinking of how I had that strong woman, concept going on in me. I had been all superwoman doing all of it on my own. I had these four, bonus babies I'd already been juggling, doing my thing with. So I was like, I'm good, Miss Betty. I'm gonna have this baby and we're gonna be good, girl. I thank God for Miss Betty.
All
Seeing me in the
right.
bathroom and saying, I'm gonna come and help you. Okay.
So there you are, Yashima. Now
Yes.
you're going along. That challenge came. Miss Betty showed up right on time because God will send you exactly what you need. Here come Miss Betty. Things are going fine. But what we're going to talk about today, right? And we kind of talked about was, here's things going okay. Miss Betty showed you're doing it. And then here comes that challenge, that thing that shows up in life. That you're at a crossroads now and you have to make a choice. And in order to thrive, you have to reach deep down and pull on that extra that's inside of you. I know a little bit of the story. I just want to share it for a woman out there who needs to know it, right? To show that as you're doing all of this, you just talked about the story of, I've been in this all of the systems, I'm a social worker, I've been in this all the time. But then life comes at you and says, okay, what are you going to do now? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Let's talk about that. Whew, well, that moment for me came, and like you said, I've had my challenges before, going through all the things, being a stepmom, a mom, having a mom who has some mental health issues coming up. So, I dealt with some challenges, but this particular challenge was something that was a little different for me. And it was helping my sister, or taking on my sister to take care of her when she went through a mental health breakdown. And like you said, the social worker systems, oh, my mom done this. I know, I'm good. I'm on. And I can help her. And I tell you that was the first time in my life that I actually realized where my boundaries were, where I was, nope. I've hit a wall. I can't go any further than this. This something has to, I'm doing too much. That was the first time in my life where I felt like, what? Oh, this is my breaking point.
Okay, all right. So there you were, like you said, that supermom, Miss Betty came and straightened you out a little bit and you kept with the supermom syndrome. But that also sounds like it meant that there were some boundaries that weren't being set.
And and not even thinking about it, because I always call myself a boundaries girl, right? So I had lots of boundaries in place, right? But the one boundary that I never really had in place and never really stood on, and probably didn't think that I needed to have, was a boundary of giving of myself.
Let's tell me more about that.
of myself. And I had to really explore that with myself, because I said, God, you're usually a pretty good boundary girl, right? Say, nope, you can't stay here. If you want to live with me, you can stay here for 21 days, and bam, that's it. 21 days, I'll help you. I'll give you this, and that's all I'm gonna. So, always was good with setting boundaries, but I think with my little sister, I think that it was the mentality that I was responsible for some reason at that point for taking on her challenges and what she was going through, and helping her and changing it and fixing it, I think, you know, with her. And so I had never really created a boundary because I always, you know, with them helped, right? So I was in that mode of helping, but this help that was being required of me was above and beyond, I think, what I expected. And it was first time in my life where I was like, I'm gonna have to figure out something. This is not gonna work with myself, because I've always been a giver of myself, you know, like that. And I know I'm very particular who I give of myself to, right?
So I, but it makes sense that you would be giving, because you're a big sister, right? So here's your baby sister. Your baby sister is going, she's your big sister. You're the baby sister, right?
Nope, I'm the big sister.
You're the big sister. So the big sister fixes things, right? That's, you come in, the baby sister can't get picked on. Don't mess with my sister, because you know if you're on the playground, you're acting up, big sister's going to come fix it. So now your baby sister, that you've always been like a substitute mom almost with, now having mental health challenges. You say, come on in, I'm going to fix that.
Yeah.
But now you have the emotions of, I can't, and I got to make a decision.
Ooh, girl. Now that part right there. I think that part, getting to the point of realization. And I knew, because I'm not a stranger to mental health, right? Not just in a personal way, but in a professional way. You know, knowing what that, I mean, hey, I'm working with moms, working with families who are dealing with this. So I've coached them through these processes, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I find myself in the midst of that process, like a case manager needing to come over here into my house and I need you to do a service plan. I need us to work through some things, because now I'm the social worker needing a social worker,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. because I had to realize that you really can't do this here. You really can't do all of this, because you're really at this point too close to it, because you're not coming as a professional like Dr. Max, hearing the story, going through the skills. I have all the stuff in my head about who she is, who she was, what she's capable of, what she's accomplished. So that's in my mind when I'm looking at her and trying to say, so this is real. So she's not the woman, the person that I am accustomed and used to her being. And when I got to the point where I said, okay, this is too much for me, it's on my plate, too much for my family. I'm not single. I don't live here alone. I have a husband and I have two teenage sons, you know, who are also experiencing that too. And that's been the one thing for me that I've always been so, so intent of doing, is making sure that I protect them, protect my sons, protect my babies from everything. And so at that moment, when I realized I wasn't really protecting them from this experience, that just because I thought I could fix it, and I'm always the one who's jumping and helping everybody, that this moment, I think I had crossed a boundary for myself, for them, you know, for everybody in general. And I said, well, what if I asked her to leave, if I had to figure out something else for her, what's it going to look like? You know, because I'm used to solving the problems for her, helping her. Like you said, I'm the big sister. I've taken care of this girl since she was an infant. I'm 15 years older than her. So I've always been the mother figure that we're going to do this, we're going to work this out. And it came to the point where that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. It wasn't happening. And I said, well, I came to her and I said, listen, I need you to do A, B, and C in order for you to stay here with us. We need you to do A, B, and C. And if those things don't happen, then we're going to have to find another solution for you. And I think it was probably the hardest conversation and thing that I had to say, because essentially I was saying to her that I could no longer help you past this point. Mm-hmm. Me and my family, we have done all that we can do in our power. to help you at this moment. And now we have to make sure, and I have to make sure, that I'm protecting our peace, our mental health, and our safety here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was tough, right? You know, because I had to be very direct, you know, right, with it. And I felt like it was so funny we talked about this, because I was just talking to somebody about this, that I felt, even today, I'm just going to be honest and real, you know, right now today, I still feel guilty.
Yeah.
I feel guilty, you know, that that I couldn't keep her here, you know, with us, that I couldn't help her move from this point of A of wellness, healthy wellness, from A to Z, just enough to be stable enough to maintain here, to help her, you know, maintain a relationship with her children, to help her, you know. And so I, and to this day, you know, I have to continually remind myself that I did everything I could in my power without risking or hurting my own mental health or the well-being and emotional health of my family, my husband, mm-hmm. and my boys. Because working and living with mental health with someone who's seriously mentally ill, I'm not talking about when people say, oh, I'm just having a little bit of anxiety or a little bit of depression. But when you have some serious things where you just can't shake and change and go into a therapy session doesn't necessarily help. And, or if you're not going to therapy to get the treatment, you're not getting the help at all. And, you know, it was at that point where I had to protect, you know, myself. The thing that I always talked about with boundaries and with other moms, I had to become that hot mom Shima for me.
Hey, you know, Yashima, I love it. I love the fact that you're talking about the theory and reality sometimes are so different, right?
Oh,
when we're the teacher, we're the teacher, we can tell it. But when life makes us the student in our own lessons, can we apply it? Can we apply it, right? And the emotions that comes with it, you know, I can't help but wonder what this experience has done for you in terms of, now that, you know, you've had to walk the path, now that you have a richer understanding, you know, what are some things that you saw of yourself in the process that made you see how strong you are? And what are some things that made you question yourself?
Oh, yeah. Some things that made me question myself?
Yes. Both. So it's one, some things that made you realize you were stronger than you thought, and some mm-hmm. things that made you question yourself.
Going through that process, it made me realize I was stronger than I thought when I had to remove myself from the situation, my emotions, my relationship. And with that person, I had to, you know, really be, oh, this is the best word for it, selfish.
I had
to be selfish, Dr. Max.
Or was
and
it
selfish with myself?
Is it selfish though, Yashima, or was it that you had to realize that self-care needed to show up, right? Because right. lots of times when we're doing things for ourselves, we label it selfish, and it really is not. It is not selfish to not drown.
Yes, it's not.
It is self-care to take yourself to the shore so you can at least guide them to the shore too.
Yes, and so okay. I had to do that. And that's what I had to and I had to come into my mind, and that took a little bit of self strength of saying that, oh, this is what I have in a situation where I had not been used to, just to not just self care, but not putting someone's needs mm-hmm. above mine. At that moment, mm-hmm. I had to really realize that. I'm going to have to put my needs ahead of her and what she needs. And then I'm gonna have to live with that decision and choice. That's just what it is. And so that's what it was. I don't know if I was ready to live with the what if. The what if after she left here with me? What if because of what I couldn't do? The what if. And I think sometimes we get into that. You know, we're not strong enough to think about the what if with them. We're not strong enough to just let that be. Because at the essence of it, I really can't control the what if after, you know, something happens or with that person's life. You know, I'm not that much in control of that anyway. Yeah. So, you know, I had to make sure, and it made me realize that I came the year, it was the year of Shema. Out of that experience came the year of Shema. And and it's laughing, I say this, like, what does that mean? That just meant that this year that was coming up, that I was going to focus on Shema, self-care. What does that mean? All the things that Shema had been putting on the back burner, all the things that Shema has said, oh, I'll do that next week. All the things that Shema had wanted to do and just hadn't done because I was doing this with other people and I'm helping you do this. All those things, it's now the year of Shema. What does Shema need? How I'm going to make sure that I'm showing up for Shema, like I'm showing up for everybody else.
So it sounds, Yashima, that one of the things that you found out about yourself is that though you were talking and teaching the concept of boundaries and self-care, you weren't really practicing it.
Yes. Yes. And I wasn't practicing it as good as I thought I was. I was like, ooh, you know, I had to wake up. You know, I woke myself up like, wait a minute, you know, and in the process, I was doing, you know, doing, sometimes we can get caught with the self-care. That's why sometimes people will help self. They hate the word self-care and all that, right? Because sometimes we can get caught up in all the things that are the simple self-care, right? Oh, the manicure, the pedicure, the massage, you know, those little tangible things. And we don't think about some of the things that we're doing that's sabotaging our self-care, like not taking care of our health, not taking care of our emotional and mental health, you know, not doing those things that we are truly passionate and that our dreams are, and we're not following them and we're not going after them, you know? And so that part is self-care too, or sometimes being selfish. And I hate, you know, to say,
you should not say, you saw word. My eyebrow, right? You saw my eyebrow.
But like, let me say, when I say selfish too, because you know what? The reason why I say it to Dr. Max, because people like to call us selfish when we're doing it. And I like to say, I'm not being selfish. I'm being selfish. You're right. Because I'm doing a little more ish for myself.
That's right. I love it. Say it again. I'm doing a little bit more ish. For myself.
And so I was supposed to explain it to you earlier. But so that's what my selfish means. He's like, yeah, you know, I want to say to people, sometimes when people say that to them, especially as moms, when you have husbands, whatever, oh, you want to go out and hang out with your girlfriends, you're being selfish. Or you want to go, you need time for yourself and you're a mom, you're being selfish. And sometimes I want to say to moms and women, sometimes you can say, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with it either. And people think that, you know, you feel like it's something so negative and it's not. You're right. Today, I am being selfish because I'm worried about myself.
And worrying I'm about doing more ish for myself. You're going to hear me saying that, Najima. I love it. I love it. So as you look back on this journey of the experience with your sister, and your sister's still here, so the journey continues. Yes. You're just learning to be stronger in the process. And, you know, as I was listening to you, I thought, you know, sometimes when we make decisions, we think that we're only thinking of ourselves, but in the releasing of her to go and get the care that you couldn't give, that decision also frees her to get a better care because you weren't able to do that for her.
Right.
You know, so this also, it on the surface may sound like you abandoned her, but no, it what is detrimental to her is to keep her in an environment where you couldn't have helped her.
Yeah. You're right. That's right. Yeah. And I had to realize that and realize that, I mean, sometimes we just think that we're the only ones sometimes who can fix something, who can mm-hmm. help someone with something. And it's so funny. I laugh at people all the time when they say that, like, oh, so if you go on vacation, your job is just going to shut down. is that what you're telling us can happen? So when you leave and go on vacation, all the doors are going to lock, all the cases are going to stop flowing. So you can't take vacation because your job is going to shut down because you're gone. No, it's mm-hmm. going to keep moving as if you were not there, like a well-oiled machine. So you have to learn how to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to focus on that, you know, and be true to yourself. You know, sometimes you think that, like we said, being the teacher, you know, you think that you're the teacher and you're smart, you mm-hmm. know, and you are smart, but you're the teacher of what you're teaching, and you think you can outsmart yourself. It's funny. Like, so you're going to teach this, right? But you're going to think that you don't have to do some of it too.
Yes. Until life calls you into its classroom and says, now you do the lesson.
Now you do the lesson. And so, and that was just really good. And to realize it, and because that brought a reality to me, a real slap in the face was mm-hmm. like, because I don't think that I realized that though. You know, I don't think I realized that I wasn't engaging in, I wasn't taking care of myself as good as I thought I was, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. that really had to come to a full head for me and was a reality check, like, oh, I gotta do better. I must do better for myself.
I love it. I love it. And for the others around you, right? Because you're pouring from inside of you. So if you had to think now, Yashima, uh-huh. of another woman, a sister struggling with this, what are some tips that you would give her to say, these are the things that worked best for me that helped me to get through this when I had to pull on that extra? I'd like to leave these with you so that you can use them too to help you to get through your journey. What would those tips be?
Well, really good ones. I really leaned on my support system. I always encourage this. I know we're strong. We're strong women and we can handle what we can handle, you know, but in the process of things, we have to know when to reach out for that support system, that lifeline, you know, sometimes and not sit on our beds and on our couch and knowing that we're in pain and we're suffering, yet not still don't reach out. And so I really had to pull on my husband, and because he was my big support system, and you know, and my father. And it was so funny, it was two men, right? And it's like, what you all know about this? but they were able, you know, were able to kind of to keep me centered, to mm-hmm. let me know and remind me that you're doing the best you can, but don't go so far as detriment to yourself. So they had to keep me, you know, thinking, keeping that in the back of my mind and thinking about that. So that was good. Making sure you're reaching out for the lifeline and support system. You know, making sure that if you have some practices like prayer, meditation, you know, make sure you're engaging in those. You know, don't forget about them. You know, when you get to struggling and things, you're going through things, you, I don't want to pray. I don't want to meditate. Nope. That is these times like this are the perfect time to be able to sit down with that, because if you don't, you know, you won't be centered. You know, you will be all over the place for a longer period of time. You won't be able to have those conversations with yourself. Okay, what am I really doing here? How am I really helping? You know, And that's where I also had to think about, really think about the person. Because sometimes, you know, when we're being a helper and we're doing these things, sometimes we're helping them, but sometimes inside you're doing something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that you're doing, what you're doing with that person is giving something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that you need. And what I'm saying in that point is, what is that?
Because so it's important to check your hidden agenda, right? Because sometimes there's something going on
with you.
Yeah.
Right. And in the process of that, you're going and going and going. And like you were saying earlier, and you're not really helping that person. Because in the back of the situation, how you're going about it, there may be something else you're working on within yourself, a reason why, like you said, it could be guilt, right? It could be the boundaries you haven't really set, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the fourth thing.
Yeah.
Make sure you have your boundaries in check. You know, what are your boundaries? Have you ever even created any? Or do you just kind of float through life and just take it as it go? So you just let everything come in without ever having the shield up of that boundary. And that's a boundary sometimes to protect you. It protects us. Boundaries protect us in lots of ways. You know, it's not you're not trying to be mean, you know, with you, but I gotta create this boundary, honey, because you are not good for me.
I love it.
You know, that kind of helped me through, you know, with that and realizing those four things, those were it. Those were king. You know, for me.
I hope it's going to help a woman out there. Pull on your support system. Make sure whatever resources you've been using before, if they're useful, continue using them.
Yes.
Know your boundaries. If you don't have them, set some. And this one worked for me a lot. Pay attention to your hidden agenda.
Ooh.
Sometimes you're working stuff out for you and not for that person you're trying to help. Ooh, Yashima, why did you do that? Bring in all of this. It's not even Sunday yet. And you brought all this good stuff. I feel like I need a plate or something to put some offering in there for all this stuff that you just brought. I love it. I love it. Yashima, we are wrapping up.
All right.
And I want to thank you so much for sharing this story, because it's a personal story. Not, you know, you're in the field. You don't necessarily want people to know. It's good when we're asking, right? We're trained to ask. But as mental health workers, we're trained to also be that blank figure in the room. We don't necessarily show people the human side that we have to go home to, right? The dirty laundry, the husband that pisses us off, or maybe it's us pissing them off. But, you know, we don't get to show. You don't always show all of that
That's
stuff
right.
because we have to. But, you know, thank you for being vulnerable enough to kind of lift that curtain and say, yeah, if this is going to help another sister, I'm going to show you that this doesn't, you know, here I am, parenting coach, social worker, been all the system. And life pulled me into its classroom and asked you to pull that extra.
That's
so
right.
What's your plans for the future, Ishima?
My plan for the future. So listen.
Besides putting that ish on herself.
All right. Besides putting that ish on myself. Yes. I really had my parent coaching kind of on ice for a little bit. Cause I really wanted to focus on what I really wanted to focus on. And so I'm getting back started with parent coaching come April. And
Yay.
So I'm excited about that. I have all the information on my website. Now, the Hot Moms Life Club, you know, we're getting back going with that. You know, with the pandemic, it's been hard. You know, the big thing about, you know, hot moms is getting out there, being able to be with one another and seeing each other and hugging and kissing and joking and spitting in the atmosphere, laughing and all that, right? And so we haven't been able to do all that in 2 years. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting back to doing some of the hot mom stuff, the activities, and definitely going to be doing the Hot Moms Conference in September. So I'm excited about that. I'm really hoping that the pandemic will cooperate and I can do it on a small scale face-to-face. But if not, we're doing it virtual. You know, and so they can check out everything that I'm getting into and doing on my website, Dr. Max.
Yes, and how can if someone wants to reach you, if there's a hot mom who wants to be reminded that she's a hot mom or about need a little parenting help, how can they reach you, Shima?
All right. Well, really, you know, follow me on Instagram. I like to put some inspirational stuff on there and things that's going on. And my Instagram handle is Shima the Coach. Shima the Coach. T-H-E Coach.
All right. That's S-H-E-E-M-A-T-H-E Coach. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. And then from there, you'll be able to see all the things I'm into. And my website is www.yashimamarshall.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Yashima. We are just finished listening to Yashima Marshall, everyone, as she shared her story of how she had to pull that extra from inside of her when her baby sister suffered, was struggling with a severe mental illness, and she took her in and tried to help her, but then had to make the decision that she had to actually remove her from her physical presence to be able to help her. I just love featuring the extra that shows up when we women are challenged in our ordinary lives. Thanks for joining us on Her Story, Her Journey podcast. I'm Dr. Max. And if you want to share your story, or if you know a woman who would like to, please send me a DM on Instagram at herstory.herjourney. That's herstory.herjourney. And, you know, I like to leave y'all with some scripture. So remember, as always, 2 Corinthians verse 10, for when I am weak, that's when I am is strong. Take care, everyone. Aww.